Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, as most of us are getting prepared for Super Bowl Sunday. You're probably either getting your appetite ready, which means you're probably going to somebody's house to eat up their food, or you having a Super Bowl party somewhere. Maybe your job is having one or something like that. But you're either getting your appetite ready, or you're probably out there on the grill or behind the stove or somewhere in the kitchen, at the store, whatever, buying those last minute groceries or whatnot, getting ready to sit down and watch the Super Bowl, which, if you check the ratings out every year, just about everybody in the United States, well, I shouldn't say everybody, generally a large chunk of people within the United States watch the Super Bowl every year. So everybody who's listening to this or will listen to this is probably at this point in time getting ready to sit down and watch the Super Bowl. Tweety, you cook anything special for the Super Bowl? What you got planned for the Super Bowl today?
Actually, I was planning on messing around and go out to your brother's house. And he's supposed to be having a little Super Bowl get. I ain't cooking nothing. I got my Super Bowl party and started last night. Went to something that our local sports radio station, 105.3 The Fan, they hosted this thing called Fan Bowl, like a football tournament. I went and I participated in it. It was a pretty good thing. Obviously, I didn't win it, but it was pretty cool. But that's how I think I got
the game.
I lost first round by 1 point, but. In all honesty, I heard it was some people, like even one of the radio people thought, they said they figured that out. They thought I had won and maybe the scores got mixed up, but it really didn't matter. But hey, it was fun. Like I said, I'll try it again next year, but now I didn't win that game. It was cool.
That's what's up. I started, cooked earlier today. I didn't make anything serious or nothing like that. I made some wings with some fries. I made some of those earlier. Then I made this little stew I like to make. And then I barbecued some smoked sausage and then some wingies for my two older kids. And that's about it. At a Super Bowl party for me, we're going to be at the house chilling. I'm looking forward to sitting down and enjoying a game with my family, my new addition, my latest addition, my baby boy, and my older two kids and my wife. But let's move on and get to really what we're here to do. Sports world, NBA, a lot going on in the NBA right now. The Warriors blazing everybody. The season is pretty much, NBA season is pretty much about halfway over. Some teams probably may have played a little bit, maybe a game, a few games over 41, which 41 is the halfway point of 82 games. And I think everybody's played right about 40 games, somewhere between 40 and 45 games right now. I don't think anybody, they may be creeping toward that 50-game mark. But anyways, NBA All-Star Weekend is next weekend. By far, my favorite All-Star Weekend of any of the major sports. Before I even go forward, let me just say shout out to Black History Month. Yeah, Black History Month. Anyways, so after last season going into this season, has anything surprised you so far this NBA season?
Well, Western Conference-wise, not really. Maybe it's surprising of how slow Houston got at, considering that they was in the Western Conference, Finals last year. Other than that, not really in the West. I figured Golden State, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, gonna be around the top. I was about to write about that. San Antonio and Golden State is pretty much blowing through the NBA, and Oklahoma City is right behind San Antonio. And you in the East, you got Cleveland and the East. I mean, I guess a surprise team in the East could be Detroit. You know, I'm pretty sure nobody's seen them, you know, I guess, fighting for a playoff spot in the East, considering
they're
But other than that, you know, because Andre Drummond is out here killing. But I say you got the Mavericks.
Man,
a lot of people think that is also true. A lot of people thought that the Mavericks probably was going to be on the outside looking in. They fighting for the fifth, sixth spot, just like they always do. But like I say, you got Cleveland, Toronto, Atlanta, Boston, the top 14. Maybe Boston is a pleasant surprise, being the top 14 in the East. But I figured they were going to be a playoff team anyway. And I guess I got a question to ask you. Do you feel like that since Chicago was all the way down at the fifth, being, what, the last 5-6 years, they were one of the top two teams in the East, do you think they missed their coach? Or do you think it's just a talent drop-off in Chicago, like they don't just have the makeup like they used to?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think when, you know, for all the years they had with Tom Thibodeau there, they were always amazing on defense, always one of the best teams in the NBA defensively. In some of those years, I'm sure they were the best team defensively. But they always struggled offensively. And so I think when they brought Fred Hoiberg in, that was probably one of the areas. Yeah, I'm sure they expected some slipping on the defense a little bit, or at least some, but they expected an increase in offense. And I don't think the increase has quite been there. Derrick Rose has played a lot better over the last probably 15, 20 games. I misspoke earlier, by the way. I think most teams have played 50 games. As I was thinking about the Thunder's record, the Thunder have played over 50 games. So I think most teams are between that, right around that 50-game mark. But anyways, I don't think they have produced offensively like they expected to. They have had some injuries. Noah's injured right now. Mike Dunleavy has not played at all this season. I have mentioned about Derrick Rose. I don't think they expected Derrick Rose to play as poorly as he did early on in the season. When the season first started off, he just did not shoot the ball well at all. His shot is better, like I said, as of late, playing a lot better. But I think, you know, that they do miss him some defensively because they just have not played as good offensively as I think they thought they would under Fred Hoiberg. But I think injuries have played played a part in that. The one thing I wanted to talk about, a couple of things have surprised me. I didn't think that Steph Curry would take his game to this level. I mean, you know, I know people are talking about the historic pace that the Warriors are on right now. But, I mean, if you look at it, the Warriors were really only 5 games off this pace last year. They won, my memory serves me correctly, they won 67 games. So to think a team that wins a championship doesn't can't come back the next year and win a few more games, I mean, even though it's 72 games, it's not necessarily, I guess they're going 73. It's not totally unreasonable. But I don't think, I mean, you can make an argument going at the halfway point right now that Steph Curry is the MVP and the most improved player in the NBA. Because his game has gone from an MVP level that he was at last year to an even higher level. I think that's, I'm fairly surprised that David Black got fired. I should say surprised. I am a bit surprised by as well as the Thunder have played, at least as well as their record has shown. By the way, they lost to the Warriors last night by 8 points, and the Warriors, the Thunder got on them early 9-0, and then the Warriors just came back and kind of maintained the lead the rest of the game. They got by 20 at one point, and then the Thunder just kind of chipped away. But the Thunder, I think, are 38-13. They may be 38-14 after the loss last night. But I don't think anybody's really giving them a chance to win the championship. You know, I mean, I think that some people are giving them an outside shot, but for the most part, I think everybody thinks it's between San Antonio and Golden State. So I think the Steph Curry thing is probably the biggest surprise to me. And the Eastern Conference, I'm not really shocked. I guess the overall player of the Eastern Conference, you know, I think right now, I think the eighth place team might be at under 500 or right about 500. So you know, I think the improvement in the Eastern Conference is probably another surprise going in into this year. So through the halfway point right now, would it be safe to say if you had to pick the MVP right now, you pick Steph Curry?
Yeah, that would be true. As far as the most improved side, I don't know if I'd give it to Steph Curry because, I mean, yes, jumping has gotten better, which is amazing. Like, nobody saw that coming. Like, everybody was already saying he's the best shooter, and it's actually gotten a little better. But, I mean, I wouldn't give him the most improved player also. But MVP, by far and away, like, nobody's even – I mean, and even you got to think about it, even the stretches they play without him, they are not the same team. So, yeah, MVP, by far, not even close. At least right now, it's not even close. I give it to Steph.
So you don't think you can make an argument that he's the most improved player in the NBA?
I guess you could. I mean, but for me personally, I wouldn't give him the most improved player because it's like you said, he was already the best player in the league last year, and it's like what much like I'm sure other players have made. If I haven't had a chance to break down every player that plays in the league, but
right,
I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people who have improve their overall game a lot more. That it don't matter if they prove it 300 times more, they just won't be as good as Steph Curry is today. That's
what I'm looking for,
as far as the most improved type player, somebody who's actually look different. Like, Steph is dominant, and Steph is going to be dominant. And like I said, you can make a case, but I guess for me personally, I just wouldn't do it because I feel like that would be more deserving players for most improved than Steph Curry.
I guess it would break down to what you would consider improved. I mean, it's very hard to argue against somebody averaging almost 7 points a game more than they did last year. And he has almost put himself into the unguardable category. As I was watching him play the Thunder last night, it was like, I mean, he didn't shoot the ball well from behind the 3-point line last night. But it was almost like, you know, what were the Thunder supposed to do? He comes down and you don't want him to shoot the three. So what does he do last night? He just time after time after time goes to the hole, lays the ball up. Now I'm not going to sit him just easy uncontested shots, but he just. I mean, you know, they're playing him for the three, and he just, you know, he just gladly takes the ball to the hole. But, you know, he didn't shoot the ball very well. I don't say he shot it poorly, but he didn't shoot the ball well from three last night. One last thing before we move on to from the NBA, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. The NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, I'm sure you've heard, because I know that the Mavericks, it started, if I remember correctly, it started with Don Nelson. It started as half a Shaq, where teams would intentionally foul Shaq. The NBA made one small rule change, and I don't know the exact rule, but if I remember correctly, it became at a certain point in the game, you don't, if you foul somebody off the ball, it became, I think it's one or two free throws, and the team missed the ball back. At one point in time, it just used to be just like a normal foul. But now you see it's employed. As the years have gone, you know, back then when the Mavericks were doing it, it was like a big deal. You know, when teams were hacker shack, it was kind of like nobody would do it besides really Don Nelson was really the only one who was doing it back then. Then more teams use it now, but there's three guys really that can't make free throws. I'm watching one of them on my TV right now, DeAndre Jordan, Andre Drummond, and Dwight Howard. The other guy from Houston, whose name escapes right now, is poor free throw shooter, too. But those are the three who get intentionally fouled off the ball the most in the NBA. Anyway, the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, was saying that he feels like they're going to have to relook the NBA rules and possibly do something about that. Or some, you know, I guess I don't want to put words into his mouth, but basically he was saying that he can understand both sides of the argument. You know, he understands from the coach's side where it's a strategy. You know, as a professional basketball player, they should be able to make their free throws. But also viewing it from a fan's perspective, you know, nobody wants to go see a guy who can't shoot free throws go to the line and shoot the ball 23 times. Or shoot 23 free throws or, you know, whatever it is. I think Andre Drummond or DeAndre Jordan, one of them, missed 23 free throws in a game. Do you think the NBA should do something to convince or encourage coaches to not use the hack a insert bad free throw shooter at any point in the game? What do you think?
Honestly, I don't think they should do too much different. Maybe so, but I don't think you can do much more than to start counting it like they did a few years ago as a flagrant one in a certain part of the game. Because it's, you know, it's clutch and you can't, they want the game decided at the free throw line in the end, I guess. But I'm more along the side of you, I pay you to play basketball, make the simplest shot in my game, which is the only shot in the game where you're not guarded. Make your free throws. Like I say, you can say hack a shack, but why our teams have to stop doing that, and this was before the league came up with that rule, because a lot of the times in clutch situations, he'd make you pay for that. He'd hit his free throws. And that's the best thing. Really, that's the only thing that can stop an NBA coach from employing a hack a shack unless, like you say, you make a rule prohibiting that action. But the best way to prohibit that action is to have that poor free throw shooter, no matter what day it is, I don't care if it's offensive day, defensive day, whatever. He has to work on free throws. He has to be able to knock down free throws. Because that's the only thing that's going to stop that.
This is a terrible stat right here. DeAndre Jordan, he's only missed 84 shots this year, field goal attempts. He has missed 221 free throws. But I'm saying that because it just popped up on the screen because I don't know if you're watching the game or not, but he and the Clippers are playing the afternoon game on ABC right now. And the Heat are employing the hack of the DeAndre Jordan strategy right now. And he shot, this is probably about to be his eighth free throw in a row or sixth. Anyways, my thought on this, I can see it from both sides, but I think the easiest thing to do and the smartest thing to do to me is guys have got to make free throws. You got to be a better free throw shooter because, you know, the way I look at it is let me back up. I think the problem that the NBA has when it comes to this is the way the teams go about fouling. I think that's what's getting that. I think that's what's causing more attention because the way they're fouling is starting to get ridiculous. Like, I've seen a couple of guys, excuse me, between those three I named earlier, I've seen a couple of times people have actually jumped on their back, you know, to get the officials to call fouls. You know, so I think that the manner in which the players are being fouled is what's kind of becoming ridiculous. And I think that's what's causing more of the issues than the actual free throw shooting. Because my thing with free throw shooting is that fouling people as a strategy is part of basketball. It's no different than if you beat me off the dribble and I'm in the clutch, instead of giving me a dunk, I'm going to foul you. You got to make a free throw.
Right.
You know what I mean? So fouling people to as a strategy is part of basketball, and I don't think it's going to go away, nor do I think the NBA should take it away. And as far as fans not wanting to watch people shoot free throws, what do you do about a game when a James Harden or a LeBron James or a Kevin Durant, insert great player or whoever, insert a great player where they take 20 free throw attempts or they're shooting 16, 18 free throw attempts in one game? You know, what are you going to do to – are you going to try to stop that as well? Or if you don't – do you only have a problem with volume free throw shooting when it's a guy who can't shoot free throws? Because that's basically what it comes down to.
I think
I don't want to see DeAndre Jordan shoot 23 free throws because he can't shoot free throws.
If it was Chris Paul,
as opposed to –
if it was Chris Paul shooting 23 free throws, it'll be just fine.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue is that, like I said, the manner in which they're fouling, some of the antics that's coming along with it, and then the guys just can't shoot. But moving on real quickly before we run out of time here, let's get to the NFL. We got 8 minutes, Lord. The hot topic, well, I shouldn't even say hot topic. Hot topic is the Super Bowl. We'll get to the Super Bowl shortly after. But me and you talked about it the other day. Johnny Manziel, if you haven't heard, we actually talked about this last week, but a little bit more information has come out about what happened. If you haven't heard him, there's some type of incident between him and his, now they're reporting as his ex-girlfriend, where she said that he hit her a couple of times in a hotel in Dallas. And he hit her a couple of times. They got into a car. There was another incident or whatever that happened in the vehicle. He eventually took her to her apartment in Fort Worth and said, "Hey, if basically as she was, I guess, threatened, whatever the conversation was, at some point she said that he said, shut up or I'll kill us both.' She thought he was suicidal. In the paper this week, I mean, I know she just got the judge just granted her a 2-year, I think it was a restraining order. And probably the biggest thing that's floating around out there is this quote from his dad saying that if they can't help him, he doesn't think Johnny Manziel is going to live to see his 24th birthday. Before I get your thoughts on it, I want to touch on that one piece right there about his father. I saw his dad catching a little bit of flack in the media, like, "Oh, you know, you're his dad. Why don't you do something?" In my opinion, I've got 3 kids, and I don't think it's as simple as, like, saying, "Well, you're his dad. You know, you should get him help." Sometimes, you know, because as parents, we tend to be the ones, and I'm just speaking generic, I'm assuming everybody is like this. You have to be the disciplinarian. You have to tell the one, you're the ones who have to say, "No, you can't do this. You can't go to your friend's house. You can't play this video game. Oh, you didn't do well enough in school. You're on punishment." So sometimes, you know, it's a little bit easier for somebody who's not always having to be the bad guy to get a child, somebody's child, to do something. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's as simple. And I'm not saying that this is the case here, but I don't like the fact that people are saying, "Well, you're his dad." And I think maybe, you know, I had that impression at first until I started to think about it. But anyways, do you think Johnny Manziel will be in the NFL next year?
Yeah. Under what circumstances, I don't know. But I do think somebody's going to give him a shot as a backup or a third stringer just because of the unknown potential. Like I said, you've seen him in a few games this year. He looked decent. Not great, but decent. And you wonder if he can get his head on right. Can he become, if not a decent, but at least a good quarterback in the NFL? So maybe I give him at least one more shot next year with somebody. But the team that is, I'm not going to say obviously, but it's been reported that it's not going to be, is the Cowboys, like a lot of people thought it was going to be, because after this last little incident, here locally, it was reported that the Cowboys were saying they was out on trying to pursue Johnny Manziel. And a little, like I say, here locally, since it did happen here in Dallas, they have called, I guess, like I said, the girl said Johnny Manziel hit her in her on one side of her face to where she couldn't hear. I think it was the left side of her ear. She couldn't hear out that side.
Yeah.
I think it was like 3 days later. She couldn't. She said she was saying she couldn't hear. And it's a lot of people down here locally giving her flack because when the police asked to take pictures of her injuries or of the incident or whatever, they said she refused and she became uncooperative at that moment. And then that's why a lot of people are giving her flack down here locally. But as far as Johnny Manziel is concerned, yeah, he'll be in the NFL because he does have a little talent, but it won't be no longer than a year and no more than the veterans minimum. And it'll probably be a very short leash for him in the NFL next year.
Yeah, well, I got two thoughts on this. One is, I'm interested in where all the people at who have been screaming about Ray Rice and Greg Hardy for the last year and a half, 2 years are. I mean, and I'm not saying Johnny Manziel hit her, but how many times does he have to be accused of doing this before somebody steps in and says, wait a minute, you know, one time, fool me, you know, what is it, fool me, same, fool, like, hell, I can't even get to saying that. But I think everybody understands what I'm saying.
B. George Bush.
Well, you know, I think everybody get what I'm saying. How many times does he have to be accused of doing it by the same person? And I think there's, as far as her not letting him see the photos, I think there's a lot of dynamics that go into people who are victims of abuse that I don't think it's as simple as, you know, as people are making it out to be. But that's one thing. I'm just curious about, you know, why hasn't there been more uproar after this? I said this is not the first incident, but the second incident reported. The other thing is, I don't think that Johnny Manziel will be in the NFL next year. I mean, I can't even imagine a circumstance where he would be in the NFL next year. Unless the Browns don't cut him, if Cleveland cuts him, I just don't. If the Browns cut him, I don't think he'll be in the NFL next year. If the Browns don't cut him, the only way I think he's in the NFL next year is if he gets suspended indefinitely by the NBA, which I would not be surprised if that happened. Because, I mean, the one part where I have to disagree with you about is I would put Johnny Manziel in the category the juice ain't worth the squeeze. I don't think that he has shown enough at this point in his career as an NFL player to warrant having to deal with the headaches that he has created off the field in his short, now 2-year-old career in the NFL. He hasn't been great or anything like that on the court. And I don't want to say the only thing he's done is got in trouble, but, you know, he's been involved in issues more than once. That's what, twice this season. Well, no, this is the third time this season he's been involved in an incident. So I don't think he'll be in the NFL if he's cut by Cleveland. I don't think he's going to be in the NFL. I just don't think he's shown enough where somebody's going to want to deal with it. And I think that people are going to want any team that may want to even give him an opportunity is probably going to want to stash him away and let him get some type of help or treatment for an extended period of time before somebody signs. Man, we ran out of time. We didn't even really get to talk about the Super Bowl. Starts at 6:30. Beyonce going to kill him. She dropped that new video on him last night, Formation. I heard a little bit of it. It sounded like it was damn, even though I don't really listen to Beyonce like that. Any last thoughts on the Super Bowl you want to get out in the last 10 seconds?
No, I'm not, y'all. I mean, everybody have a safe Super Bowl watch party. Be careful driving home. Captain, don't win.
Yep.
Peace.
Don't drink and drive. Be careful. Shout out to Cam Newton. Congratulations on winning the MVP. We'll see y'all next Sunday. Peace.